if you can figure out what you really want to happen, usually there's a way to do it. Yeah. Usually there's a way for a qualified estate planning attorney can say, hey, we can do that this way.
Right.
Matter of fact, usually there's multiple ways.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Retirement Cafe with certified financial planners Dan Reese and Brent Oliver. At our cafe, we believe your retirement plan should be life-giving and custom-made, just like a hot cup of coffee. Here in mid-Michigan, with an office in Jackson, the Retirement Cafe is open for business.
Well, hello and welcome in to the Retirement Cafe. I'm Ben George alongside Dan Reese and Brent Oliver over at Avery Wealth. Last episode, hopefully you've been able to had a chance to listen to it, but we talked about protecting what's yours while you're alive. We're going to kind of finish off this conversation, kind of the second half of this discussion. And this one's about protecting what's yours after you pass. So this is going to be a good show. We're going to talk through the three hurdles you need to clear in order to ensure that your wishes are carried out when you're no longer here. So Dan and Brent, welcome in. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Very
good. Looking forward to wrapping up this estate planning stuff. It'll be, I think this will be a good one.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, this will be a good conversation, and I know I enjoyed what we went through last time about protecting what's yours while you're alive, but you know, it's also important that you're protecting these things after you pass it so that you can assure whoever you wanted to get your stuff and taking care of your loved ones and all those sort of things actually get executed properly. So kind of give me your thoughts on this topic and just in general and why you think it's so important for us to discuss on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing to take action on and have a plan in place. There was a note that we saw that this was from 2018, not that long ago, and it said it typically takes just under 700 hours to settle an estate valued between $1 and $5 million. That's a lot of time, and I think a lot of people are like, well, my estate's not $1 million, but when you have to understand that's everything.
Yeah.
That's your house, that's your investment accounts, bank accounts. You can get to $1 million pretty quickly nowadays, right?
Yeah, and a lot of that could just be some pretty simple things that probably wouldn't take you near that amount of time. Just, you know, and we're going to talk about that, you know, organization and things like that, that are just really, really important that you're not leaving that, you know, that this, we've got like a little handout here and, you know, it talks about estate plan is an act of love, right?
Yeah.
And it really is. I mean, taking care of the people, you know, giving somebody money, I mean, that's great, but leaving them with a lot of tasks isn't the best.
Well, and it just is a recipe for disaster. And I mean, so, like, we've got a few bullet points just to mention what some of the benefits of good planning and taking care of this. Clarity is number one, because, we always kind of assume for some reason that other people know what we're thinking or what we would want, but it's just not accurate. Like, people don't know. So clarity is super important. Speed, being able to get it taken care of. If the plan's well done, you can basically settle an estate fairly quickly. You know, which everybody wants. Like, you know, you hear these stories of them going on for months and years, and you're like, that's not good for anybody.
Well, right? and you touched on how many hours it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 700 hours, if this is done, there's going to be hopefully some significant cost savings as well. So that's another area. And that falls into, you know, there's some tax benefits that can be achieved if you've done this properly.
Yep. And also you're protecting, you know, people think about while they're alive, protecting their money and their stuff. But you know what? If you don't do good planning, you could have the money and your assets in the wrong person's hands and them making decisions.
Right.
And so that's terrible. And you know, really, the end of the day, it's just good step-by-step planning where we've got a way of doing things. And so that's what we're going to get into today. And I believe it should be really helpful for people that want to do the right thing and want to learn maybe how to go about getting that done.
Well, let's start off with what you've identified as the three hurdles. We'll go through them one by one. Just kind of list them out here, big picture, and then we'll really dive into them.
Yeah, so we're really hoping to simplify this, mm-hmm. right? So now we don't want to talk about a whole bunch of complex terms and things like that. And so I think it'll be easier to just talk about these hurdles. But the first hurdle is just really simple, right? Deciding, you know, who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of where you have to start. And you just really want to start at a high level, right? So, I mean, obviously everybody has a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But, start with the things that, you know, are important to you.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in more detail. And the second hurdle is really making it legal, like which we'll talk about. And I think most people know, I got to have some legal documents. But that's just kind of the roadmap for others to follow when you're gone. And if you don't have that, there's no roadmap.
Yeah.
We're going to talk. We talked a little about that already.
And then number three is just getting it together, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that, you know, it's tied up nice and neat, and that it's organized, and that you have a way to keep it organized over time.
Yeah, because that is huge. That is really huge. Brent and I, and we've done actually a podcast on it. We're big believers in something called an asset map. And that's one, it's a simple one pager where everything's laid out, income sources, insurance, assets. And that's a great tool when we talk about this of getting organized. So when you think about how do I do that, we'll get into some details, but that's something that may be a good process to go through if you don't have an asset map.
Yeah, well, it's always good to simplify things, especially when it comes to estate planning, because there's just so much legal jargon that you have to kind of navigate, and it can be very difficult. So breaking it down to three hurdles like this makes it simpler. Let's start with hurdle one then. How do you help someone decide who gets what?
Yeah. I mean, I started talking about that. You just don't want to you don't want to be overwhelmed by this, right? So you want to keep it. Just start to think about the things that, like I said earlier, just the most important to you. That's a really good place to start, because those are the things that you care the most that are passed on. So you just want to start there, and you know, whether those are assets and different things. We've got just a checklist that we're going to go through to kind of help you think of some of those other items.
Yeah. And I think in this is just the way I visualize things, like the 30,000 foot view is where you want to start, you know, like big items, and we'll kind of work through this, and then kind of getting down into more of the detail, because our brains work better that way.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like a good thing to start with. But what's the first thing, Brent, when you start doing this on the checklist?
Well, on the checklist, the very first thing you want to do, and Dan talked a little bit about an asset map, and it does this for you, is you want to start to estimate your net worth, including, you know, what assets you have, what, you know, what debts you have. And then this could be a ballpark, and a lot of times it is even on the asset map. It's not critical that it's down to the dollar, but you want to have a really good idea of what your net worth is.
Yeah, and one of the reasons that's so important is that it plays into the laws, the estate laws. So if you don't know like what you have in total and then how that's made up, it's very difficult to do good planning, you know, especially from a tax perspective. The second thing is really identifying beneficiaries. And so when you think about beneficiaries, I think a lot of people instantly think, oh, my kids, right? That's what you're talking about. But it doesn't have to be just your kids, right? There could be somebody else close to you. There
or,
could be charities.
Or charities. Yep. You know, or other key relationships that you might have. So you want to think about who would you like to, you know, pass on some of these assets to.
Yeah. And I mean, and you really need to be open, because sometimes everybody kind of tries to simplify, like, oh, it's just 25% for each kid. I got four kids. But it doesn't have to be percentage. You might say, I want to leave $5,000 to the Humane Society, right?
Right.
That's okay, because one of the things that Brent and I tell people all the time is that if you can articulate what you want to do, when we get into the second piece, a good attorney can make it happen,
right?
Like in writing, where they, you know what I mean? Sometimes we get worried about, well, I don't know how to do that. Don't worry about that. We're just trying to go through this first step of figuring out, first of all, what you have and where it's going, right?
Yep. And you started to talk about that, but then you've identified your net worth, you know, and the things that you have. You've identified, you know, who you want to leave them to, and then you start to think about how you're gonna break up those different pieces, right? And that can get complicated, but we just want a high level here again on where you want those to go. And then you also need to think about, you know, some of your prized possessions, like different collectibles you have, keepsakes, memorabilia, different things like that, you know, you really want to put some thought into who would get the same value that you get out of those types of things.
Yeah. And it's funny, because I got a quick little story on that. So I've got a 14-year-old daughter, and she, of course, grandma loves her because she's the only granddaughter. And she says to Libby the other day, hey, you know, all this jewelry, you know, this is all going to go to you. And she's like putting her hands together like, oh, boy, this sounds really good. But it's kind of funny, because my mother-in-law has actually thought about that, right? She's thought about stuff like those things. And I think it's important, because some of those things aren't necessarily, jewelry could be really valuable.
Right.
But I mean, a lot of the stuff like that really isn't super valuable from a monetary standpoint. It might just
it
be
just
more.
It just means something.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like in talking that through, and by the way, as we work through this stuff, it's really good to actually communicate with the people, like the beneficiaries, you know, in certain circumstances, So because the things like what we're talking about, the special little things in the house, the unique salt and pepper shakers or whatever it might be, that causes more fights when you're gone than anything. And so, like, if you do that stuff, it's good to really communicate, too.
Yeah, for sure. You want to lay this out. So after you've thought about that, you want to have those conversations so there's not any hard feelings when you are gone.
Right. Yep. And then the next thing along there is really, like, who's going to be your legal representative or administrator, right? This is a really interesting thing, isn't it, when you start thinking about who you're going to pick, because they need to be comfortable with it, right?
Right. Yeah, you just don't want to assign somebody and then, you know, pass away and then they're not comfortable doing that job.
Yeah, I mean that, and there are just on that thing, you know, if you don't feel like you have like a person that you can think of, there are like certain banks will actually have departments that'll work with you on that. And, you know, they can kind of take on that role and so certain trust companies. So there are options, like if you are in a situation where you feel like, I don't really have anybody. Maybe you don't have anybody available, or maybe you just say, hey, I don't want to put that on them, like to worry about. Yeah. So there's a lot of options in there.
And then we talked a little bit about this, but you want to identify if there's going to be any conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if multiple people want the same thing. And those are conversations that can be had, that should be had.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's, like I say, that's what you hear is where all the fights start.
Yeah.
In there. And really, if there's anyone you want to explicitly exclude. So one thing that this is just kind of like good planning 101, don't assume anything, right?
Right.
So like oftentimes, it depends the state you live on. If you don't specifically say, hey, this person is excluded, there could be some laws even maybe sometimes that override things and they're going to include them anyway.
Right.
So like you really have to be careful. And that goes back to like what we're going to get into a little bit with some of the legal piece of it.
Yeah, there's a lot there to go through and sort through. But, you know, you're talking about taking inventory and who you want to leave those items to. Now, number two is making it legal. And you described this legal roadmap a little bit earlier for others to follow. How do you actually go about creating that roadmap?
Yeah, I mean, the roadmap, the first step, you know, once you start getting all that stuff figured out, right, then you've got two choices, right? There are online tools and different things there where you can begin to put together the documents, right, to do that. But that's not what we necessarily recommend.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we're trying to stay out of the weeds on this, but it's complicated.
It is.
Right? It's very complicated. And so even if you have the best intentions, if you're using some,
LegalZoom or one of those
things. Something that's just kind of like a boilerplate type of estate planning documents. Even some just very minimal, what you would think of like a clause that's in there that you don't fully understand could really blow up the whole thing and make it a problem. And so, and a lot of times it's also not able to be customized, right? So if you go to a really good estate planning attorney, they can walk with you through what your wishes are and the best way for this to happen. And there may be a lot of different ways for it to happen, but they know you and they know your circumstances. And so, you know, you can certainly do it on your own or you can get a professional to do it. I mean, we tend to think that you're going to be way better off spending that money and getting it done the right way.
Yeah, and having somebody you can consult and talk to about the stuff. So kind of back to a high level, you know, how do you create the roadmap? Well, number one, legal documents is one way, and no legal documents is another. So like if you don't do anything, you die with what's, you know, it's called intestate, which just means you died without a will or any estate planning documents. Then wherever you live, generally those state laws are going to take effect or are going to be implemented, right?
Yeah.
So whatever they are in that state is, you know, like, so they might say, hey, 50% goes to your spouse or, you know, who knows, right? Because it could be different everywhere. But that gets into the stuff we're trying to avoid with good planning. That's why we're talking about this. Get the right things in place so that you can have peace of mind that the way you want it to happen actually does happen when you're gone.
Well, it's clear you need to make everything legal. And a qualified estate planning attorney is going to be the best option in most cases. How do you know which legal documents, though, will best serve your needs?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, we want to start with some basics. And there's... Again, there's a lot of different areas that you can go into this. So we're going to just cover at a high level a couple of the really important things. And so, I mean, it's pretty well established, I think, that everybody needs a will, right? And so nearly everybody will need that. And it's, you know, this is kind of where you get into the beneficiaries and who you want to leave what.
Yeah, and the will. So, I mean, just to be clear, too, a lot of people always are like, hey, I heard I should try to avoid probate. And yeah, like a great idea with good planning is to try to, as much as you can keep out of the probate court getting involved with, the better, because that's quicker and more cost effective. So a will is really the instructions for the probate court. That is telling them for the things that are going through probate. So I think this is a good learning point, because I'll give you a simple example. Let's say you have a life insurance policy, and it's a $100,000 life insurance policy, and you put your wife on there, and you pass away, and your wife is a beneficiary of that. Well, that is a contract with the insurance company, so that wouldn't go through probate. So a lot of people ask us, well, in my will, I said to do this. Well, the thing is, the contract goes first, because the will is the instructions for the probate court, so that life insurance policy never gets to the probate court. You know, a death certificate submitted, they pay that out to the listed beneficiary, and it's done. Right. So that's a really important
concept. And so that would be the same case with an IRA. If you have a listed beneficiary, the same thing happens. That just passes through. But then there's other things that the will would take care of through the probate process. And if you had instructed the court through your will what you wanted to happen, then that's likely how that's going to work out. If you don't have it, then the court's going to determine it for you.
Yeah. And the other thing is, we talked a little bit about representatives and executors. So like, executors, you would assign in your will to kind of be your representative, because obviously you've passed away. So that's where you've listed someone, just so you kind of understand what that is and what that means. So the second piece is a living trust, revocable living trust. Well, there's lots of trusts, and we could do a whole show on trust.
Yeah.
But we're just going to go high level. No, we don't want to.
So with this, this comes more into play maybe if you have a little bit more of a complex situation. I mean, it doesn't have to be super complicated,
right?
But if there's certain things that you're trying to achieve, this may be the direction that we might tell you, hey, you know, you probably would benefit from this, and you should go see an attorney. They would ultimately help you determine if this is the right type of a document.
Yes, and so when you think about like a trust, it's a legal entity that actually you put things in, right? So a lot of people, if you just went and had a trust put together and you didn't fund it, and what we mean by funding it is you didn't basically put assets inside of the trust, so like title them in the name of the trust, it'd basically be about useless, right?
Right.
Because the trust language is going to rule over what property is inside of that, right? So like if you had an investment account that you titled in the trust, that's going to automatically, the rules of that trust will apply. And trusts do stay out of probate. So that's a tool that some attorneys will use to allow you to kind of skip probate for those things. So they're a little bit tighter, if you will, and they're more private, right?
Right.
So you don't have like people, you know, not like, I think a lot of people may not realize that probate's public information.
It's a public court hearing.
Yeah.
Right. And so the things that are going through probate are exposed to the public. The things that are in trust would
be private, right?
Be private.
And so the good thing to understand too is the will and the trust, so they work together, because most people are never going to have everything they own in the trust. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's just, that's not really feasible necessarily. And so the will might say, you might have a will that says, hey, anything I forgot to put in the trust, put in the trust, right? A pour over will, they call it. So like, the probate judge might see that and recognize it and say, yep, that's fine. That's okay. And you know, they would then move that property in the trust and disperse it based on the trust language.
Right. So that could be anything. It could be like a
car.
Cars.
Right?
Could be your home, right?
So could be.
If your home isn't titled into your trust, then you may have to have that placed in the trust at that time.
Yeah.
So it could be any number of things that would happen. And so, you know, this, we talked about it being private and cost effective, and then it also resolves some complex family dynamics. And so if you want to be able to put rules in place, if you have younger children, for example, right, that you don't want to have the money right away, it allows you to place rules on it. If you're married a second time and you want to take care of your now spouse, but then after they pass on, you want to take care of your own children, there's things that you can do.
Yeah, that's probably one of the most common examples, because there's so many second marriages where you're like, hey, people get married later in life and like, hey, I've kind of have this money I've accumulated. The other spouse has this money. They're fine sharing it while they're married, but then they might say, you know, I would really like this portion to go to my kids because they didn't maybe have kids together, right?
Right.
And so that's one of the most common examples. So they basically have almost like a marital, I can't remember the right terminology. There's so many of them, but it's a trust setup specifically where the remaining spouse can use that for their needs in their lifetime, but then it goes down to the one who passed first, their kids.
Right.
So it really is a nice way to structure things. And I think back to the point we talked about earlier, if you can figure out what you really want to happen, usually there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
Usually there's a way for a qualified estate planning attorney can say, hey, we can do that this way.
Right.
Matter of fact, usually there's multiple ways you know, that they can show you on that. And so the other thing too, think about a children that has special needs. Like if you need to set up money where they, you know, maybe will still qualify for some government benefits for their disability and can get some support. You know, there's all kinds of different things, right?
If you have a child maybe who spends more than you're comfortable with and you're worried about them being able to live off those assets for a long period of time, you know, there's spendthrift things that you can put into it. So there's a lot of different things that you can do here and a lot of different reasons why somebody would need a revocable living trust.
Yep. And one thing that's kind of cool about the trust planning too is like we have three kids, and so all of our three kids are probably a little bit different with money. And I think everybody that has multiple children will kind of say, yeah, that applies to our kids too. They're all a little different. Like when you're doing this stuff, so like we have done this and we have a trust for each of our kids. They do have all the same rules right now, but they wouldn't have to.
Right.
They could have different rules in there. And like one says, hey, they're terrible with money.
Right.
We need to like put some more protection in place. Another one, you may be like, man, we don't have to worry about them. They won't spend anything anyway.
Right.
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 And so it does give you a ton of flexibility, but it also protects some things. So it's kind of a nice thing to consider. Are there other trusts, Brent, that are out there that people might use?
Yeah. I mean, there can be things. Other reasons, you know, like if there's business successions, you know, like, so if you're trying to transfer on businesses, you there's things you can do, multi-generational type arrangements.
Multi-generational is really kind of interesting because that's one of those deals where maybe you want something to kind of go on like more into perpetuity, or you want to make sure it lasts for generations. And that could be for charitable reasons, or it could be just to support your own family for a long term. Maybe you say, hey, I want to have money available for college for kids through the next few generations, right?
Right.
And that might be something that a specialized trust could accomplish.
Okay. Well, that going through all that stuff makes it sound a little less complicated than, you know, you might expect it to. So let's move on to hurdle three now. It's just getting it together. What all is involved here?
This is a huge deal
because
we deal with this stuff, you know, where, I mean, we all know people pass away. And so oftentimes we're one of the first places people come to say, hey, what do I do?
Right.
And what's one thing that we know? The more organized somebody's been, the easier it is.
Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, I think it goes without saying, it's a very stressful time when someone passes on. And so the last thing that the person who is feeling all that stress and emotions needs is a bunch of more uncertainty piled on top of them.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's why, you know, we started out by saying estate plan isn't an act of love. Like it really is making sure that this stuff is done. And so we just want to get you organized, right? We're getting it together. Like let's be organized and have a plan for doing that continually throughout the remainder of your life. Right. And so, you know, we like checklists. So we have another one. And we can, you know, we certainly help our clients in this area.
Yeah. I think the big thing too is when you start getting organized, it gets easier. Like, so the first time you start listing things out, you're not going to get everything. You're just not. That's just not how things work. It's like if somebody tries to do a budget, they forget about, oh, yeah, I got my dog the vet appointment, you know, twice a year, or you know, you just don't like, oh, my license plates, that comes up once a year. And it's the same with this, so don't ever get discouraged. Like anything you're doing is a positive, but really starting out with the basics. What are my financial assets?
Right.
You know, what accounts do I have? Where are they located? Who's a contact person? what website, because nowadays we know what? We don't get most stuff in paper.
Right.
So we've got to have a way to let people know this is how to access that stuff, right? And if you start going through those things, you start, the other things just start popping up.
Yep.
But that's where you start, right?
Yeah, you start there. I mean, obviously we talked some about that. We talked about heirlooms and other collectibles and all those types of things. We want to start to, you know, take even a deeper dive into that area. And then, I mean, this is a really important one, is making, have a list of the key professionals that you are working with.
Yes, because one of the things, like specifically if you think of somebody's CPA, they, like a CPA from a financial standpoint, they're not going to know about your collectibles generally and stuff like that, but they're going to pretty much know every financial account, mm-hmm. or a good share of them, because you get tax documents from them. So they're like, hey, you know, your mom and dad, or your mom had accounts there and there. So that's good to be able to lean on them if you feel like you may be missing something.
Yeah, or a professional like us, or an attorney.
Yep.
So like with us, you know, the way that we do planning, obviously we need to know somebody's complete financial picture.
Right.
So that's not always the case with all people in our line of work, but
yeah.
The way we do it, we're going to know all that information.
Well, we're going to have an asset map.
Yeah.
Like exactly. We talked about, and we're going to have an asset map that lays out the majority of this. Again, not always collectibles and things, but it's a really good starting point. But the one thing that I think people don't think about as much, that's on our checklist that I am glad is there, is some of the stuff like marriage certificates, birth certificates, military records, you know, security codes for computer logins. Like yeah. Those are things that, like, I don't know if, you know, we obviously today on our most phones, you have what, Face ID?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you notice this, but every time, like if your phone restarts, you got to type in your code.
Right.
Face ID doesn't work. So you sure better have that, because there's a lot of information on those stupid phones we carry around.
Well, yeah. And if you're, I mean, if you're gone, your face may, you know, not be available. Right.
That would be uncomfortable. That.
Yes. Yeah, let me open that casket. I mean, that's not good.
No,
that's not a good
not
way
ideal.
To go about it. So yeah, having those different things, you know, different documents and ways to access things online is super important.
Yep. Yep. And even like making sure, we talked about trust, like we said, if they're not funded, if the stuff's not, you know, put in place, titled correctly, they didn't accomplish yeah. anything.
Yep. Yep. So titling, if your home, the type, making sure that you know the current titling mm-hmm. of all those things, of your home, right?
Yep.
Of vehicles, and other assets, just knowing how they're titled and making sure that if you do have the trust that they're in the trust
right.
currently.
Right.
Because that can create some big problems.
Yeah.
Know the beneficiaries.
Oh
right?
yeah. Regular review of beneficiaries is huge. Like, I mean, it's terrible, but you know, the younger people don't always outlive mom right. and dad, and that's a real common one. And, you know, we got to remember to review that stuff and make those adjustments yeah. when that does happen, because otherwise you can have a real issue. And there are a lot of families that say, hey, I want, you know, if Joe passed away before mom and dad might say, hey, I want their share to go to Joe's kids. Well, if you don't update that stuff, that's not going to happen
right.
probably. So it's super important.
Yeah, or I mean, we talked a little bit about second marriages and things, and we've all heard stories, right, where mm-hmm. there's a life insurance policy that someone's ex-husband or wife is still titled as the beneficiary,
oh, yeah.
and then the new spouse doesn't get
the
proceeds from that. I mean, that those things can happen if you're not making sure that you're reviewing these on a regular basis.
Yeah, the next one I think is huge, and it's hard because we see it over and over again. Clear out the clutter in your house. And we don't necessarily mean like a hoarder where you got newspapers
yeah.
and stuff. What we're talking about is, like, we've seen this personally. Somebody passes away and their kid's going through their house and they literally have old, like, investment statements on accounts they don't even have anymore.
Right.
Or they have, like, just tons and tons of stuff. And so the kids are worried they're going to miss something. And really what they should have is, like, you know, the last few statements or year-end statements, not tons and tons of things like that. So it just confuses people that are trying yeah. to go through those things. And the other one that I'm going to mention, because I had a client recently had this situation, savings bonds. Like, they found a bunch more savings bonds in like a box, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like not obviously not ideal.
Right.
Because that might have never been found.
Right. And if it's just, you know, just gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're just going through, somebody's going through throwing out stuff, you never know what's going to not be, you know, passed through or found.
Yeah, yeah. And nobody wants that, obviously.
And then just, you know, I mean, we talked a little bit about, like, having a good password manager, you know, have a way for people to know how to access your information. Even after you're gone, yeah. Right? It's going to still be out there.
Yep.
Right? So it's really important that you have somebody that you can trust that knows how to get online and access your accounts and different things and where to look.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Just to make it simple,
yep.
On them, I mean, as possible, simple as possible.
Yep, Facebook, different, like if you're on social media, making sure that the loved ones left behind can go out there and maybe put a tribute to you on the page and say, you know, like, right. Rest in peace. Because, I mean, it people, like, obviously, one of the cool things about social media is you can connect with people that you never see or across right. The country. Well, a lot of those people may not even know you're gone. And so, like, you know, but if you don't have the login, it just can create a yeah. really difficult situation, so that's really important.
Yeah, a lot of things to think through here, but hopefully breaking it down into three hurdles makes it a little bit easier for you to organize that process as you're thinking about going through it. So as we wrap up this edition of the Retirement Cafe, can you guys just kind of recap what we've talked about today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is this is really important. And I mean, people, they don't do it as often as they should because no one likes to think about this stuff, right? They just don't. But the truth of the matter is when you go out there and you get it done, there's a lot of people that go get their estate planning done feel really good about yeah. it when they're done because they're like, man, I've been wanting to do that and it wasn't nearly like I thought it was going to be. Right. And now I've got all this stuff in place and it just gives you a like kind of a peace of mind around that stuff.
Yeah, and it gives you peace of mind and a great feeling that you've done something that you really probably didn't want to do, but yeah. you did it because of the people that you care about.
Yeah, and right. that's exactly why you do it. You right. do it because, you know, basically to be efficient, make sure it saves money too yeah. and saves time, but really it's about love and about the people you care about. And really just make it simple. You know, try to take this process that we've laid out, get stuff organized, you know, figure out what do you have, you know, what do you owe, if you have debts, who you want stuff to go through, and just kind of systematically get that organized so that when you go see that estate planning attorney, or if you try to do it yourself, either one, you've got all that stuff organized.
Right.
So it's like you can just get that done. And then last thing, right, just stay on top of it.
Yep.
Like once you get the legal documents in place, it's not like you should never go back to the estate planning attorney. You know, you should periodically go back and just say, hey, does anything need to be updated? Laws change. Things do change. Family structures change. So just make sure it's up to date. But then just review the things and keep things organized for whoever is going to be going through that process when you're gone.
Yeah. And like Dan said, I mean, the asset map is that we provide is a really, really good way to help you stay organized over the long term.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, the best way to get in touch with Dan and Brent over at Avery Wealth is online, averywealth.com. Very simple to remember, averywealth.com. You can schedule a meeting there, plus get other resources as well. And you can find this podcast on the website. But if you want to call them, you can do that as well at 517-783-1695. The estate planning process is just one piece of the puzzle, but it's a very important one. And you definitely want to protect what's yours after you pass. So, guys, thanks for taking us through all this. And hopefully it's helped out some people today.
Yeah, thank you.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified professional before taking any action. Avery Wealth, Inc. is a registered investment advisory firm.